This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The story of Josh Duggar and what happened with his sisters was handled internally for years before it became public. Joseph Duggar allegedly apologized to his victim. Nobody called law enforcement. Until, allegedly, the victim's father confronted him 6 years later. Locks on the outside of children's bedroom doors, allegations managed through church counseling, a family spokesperson called criminal charges, totally unrelated. The question isn't just what happened in this family. It's how much has been buried. How much is that the norm? Who participated in burying it? And whether what the public knows is the full picture or the edge of something much larger. And what does it mean to cover these sort of things out, to try and influence others to not speak? Are we entering other territory of potential criminal behavior? We're going to talk about all that. Joining us to discuss, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, and also our special guest today, Amy Duggar King, the only person who can give us such an insight into this family the way she can, as Holy Disruptor, the title of her book, states. You have said here when the Joseph stuff came out that you weren't surprised. It didn't surprise you, not because of Joseph specifically, but because of the system. When you started learning the full scope of what had been happening inside the family and inside the circles, and on that Florida trip, from what you have learned about it, with what's been made public of the whole story this far, why were you not surprised by any of this? And do you think, and we're not here to name names or cast aspersions on anybody, but does this go much further and deeper within the IBLP, possibly within that family? I mean, what are your thoughts there? Are we still at the tip of the iceberg on this?
We're at the tip of the iceberg on this. There is no way that Josh became a monster overnight. I think I say that in my book. I don't believe that Joseph's first time, my own opinion, I have no proof of this. Sure. There's no way he became a monster on a random vacation at age 25 and decided to groom this little girl. Okay. Mm-hmm. There is something so much more sinister happening, and we're at the cusp of it. We don't know any of the details yet as far as how deep this goes. Mm-hmm. And I don't honestly know if we ever will, but you don't do that. No healthy human being with a good heart, even if you're not a Christian or whatever, no good person on this planet would say, yep, that's what I'm going to do. That sounds like a good idea to me. There's way more to this story, and it's disgusting.
What really disturbed me the most is the line that has come out, and I forget exactly where it came from initially, but it was unpure thoughts. You didn't have impure or unpure intentions or thoughts or something of that nature with a 9-year-old. How those two things, how those even show up in the same sentence together is beyond me. But then to speak this aloud and somehow think it's going to land in some way, shape, or form, and someone's going, oh, well, it was unpure thoughts, but I'm glad you admitted to that.
Wow, I'm so proud of you for admitting that.
But that tells me there's an ecosystem and there's an environment in which that sort of phrase can be said and accepted. And this ain't the first time he's said something like that, in my opinion.
There's no way. Yeah. There's no way this is the first time.
I'm my theory on all this, my conjecture.
I would love to hear your theory.
IBLP work camps, man. I'm telling you, that's where everything happened. That's where
interesting.
I think, you know, the first time, you know, the first time I had heard when Jim Bob had found that Josh was having some issues, and his therapy was to send him to one of the, as I'm calling, the slave labor camps. I think that was a breeding ground. Because like you said, Amy, these things just don't happen in vacuums. They just don't emerge. And granted, the way that S education happens inside of LBP and the lack of it, basically, and and close proximity, no parental controls. I mean, all these things help manifest these things over time, but you are typically exposed to things. And I'm just seeing how they organize those work camps and some of the allegations that came out later on from the headquarters building. Right. I think a lot of it was exposed there because these things are taught. Not like, hey, get in classroom, but they're, when you're exposed to something, it's then validated. It's then you just got to own up to it really quick and you'll be forgiven because that's part of
you. Forgive quickly.
Yeah.
It's like there's a secret Gothard workbook about this.
I know.
They only hand out to certain creepy people.
I didn't receive that one. It makes me wonder, Robin and Tony, I would love to get your take. Do you think that, like, obviously looking at everything going on and all the heaviness of it all, do you think my uncle was maybe has some trauma of his own? Do you think he's maybe acted out?
I think anything is possible. I don't know. I would not accuse him of anything.
I don't know.
I mean, just understanding who he was raised by, I think there's probably odds are good that there's all sorts of different types of trauma there and probably all sorts of type of trauma that he's never dealt with in a healthy way. And maybe it comes out in unhealthy ways as well. Now, again, not accusing him of anything, doing anything with his kids by any means, but there's all sorts of things that could be going on and it might not necessarily, because sometimes these things can skip generations in ways too, where one, you know, is so hell bent on going this way and basically, you know, pushing the family to be this image, this way, we're perfect, everything's good, everything's great, nothing's wrong, that you end up becoming incapable of seeing and understanding what exactly is going on around you. I mean, it's very common of narcissism. I'm not calling him a narcissist. Right. I can't diagnose him as a narcissist. But we see this very, very commonly in people with narcissistic personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, the dark triad, all of that, where they're incapable of empathy. Not because they want to be. They never had it as a child. It wasn't bred into them. It wasn't taught to them. And sometimes the people around them just weren't capable of it either. So it might be an outlier if he had the empathy to feel and recognize some of these things and deal with them in a healthy and appropriate way. But because that lever doesn't seem to be there, at least in my opinion, it makes it very difficult, I think, for him to deal, or anyone in that family, to deal with these sort of issues, these traumas, these horrible things in a responsible way, because they don't have the workbook to do it. There was no workbook teaching him how to do anything.
Maybe I should write one.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just write one. It is true that my uncle did not show empathy at all. In my opinion, he didn't show empathy when my grandma passed. Mm-hmm. He didn't show empathy to my mom. He didn't show empathy in any kind of way. So that is a very interesting take on it.
Yeah. Sure. So from what we see and observe, he's a rules, process, and procedures guy over the empathetic side. I think he was able to self-select into IBLP and Gothard because he wanted that level of control. And so he's self-radicalized is what happened. And so he sold hook, line, and sinker into a system and a non-correcting self-righting system. And then his naivete towards reality of life took hold. And so he just kept, because he loves that rules, process, and procedures, and he's all in, and he doubled down on it. And no matter what happened, well, just got to keep following this, non-self-correcting, because there was an inability to empathetically see life through someone else's contact lens. That is all about that control, the rules, the process, the procedure. They will set us free.
He can't come back after he's already been so far.
And you can't, because what we do as human beings, the laws of human nature are, as we self-identify who we are and our belief systems and what we hold true, to face that reality of it might not be right is earth-shattering, especially if our own ego and vanity is fragile enough, our insecurities are fragile enough, our trauma responses are such that we can't acknowledge or face those things. You're going to keep doubling down because you to face the fact that you could possibly be wrong, not even you as an individual, but my entire belief system, especially if you believe your only way to enter the kingdom of heaven, according to Gothard's doctrine, is this, I can't go against this no matter what, because it's never about this. It's about what's coming next. And so that's how that he's self-radicalized into that system.
I knew this was going to be a good conversation.
There's nothing, there probably is something more dangerous, but there's a naive narcissist is a very dangerous thing.
Yeah, that's what it is, naivete.
Yeah, a naive narcissist is a scary, dangerous thing. There's more to come with Amy Duggar King as we continue to dig deeper into the dynamics of this family, the psychology of what is going on here with the Duggars. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. Leave us your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. The links are in the description. We'd love for you to weigh in. And like I said, press subscribe wherever you get podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage of this and our conversation on this case. Part 3 is coming up. It's the message to Kendra. Is there anything that could influence her, to inspire her to get away from a family that seems to have already taken so much from her? That's coming up. Press subscribe and you can see it as soon as we release it. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
I picture this Christmas morning, a house the size of a small hotel, tucked into the Arkansas hills. 19 children in matching pajamas, a tree, presents, fire in the fireplace, and not a single kid in that entire house is allowed to believe in Santa Claus. Ooh! Not because their parents forgot to mention him, not because they were too broke for the whole routine, because in the world they were raised in, Santa wasn't a harmless story about a man in a red suit. No, he was a problem. His name, rearranged, spelled the devils. He was competition for Jesus. Letting a child sit in his lap, according to his worldview, was a small act of spiritual surrender. Michelle Duggar said it herself publicly years ago. They kept Santa out of the whole celebration. They wanted to focus on the real meaning, and Santa just didn't make the cut. That's where this story starts, not because Santa is important on his own, because Santa is item number one on a very long list. And that list, the list of things the Institute in Basic Life Principles and the family that became its TV poster child taught their kids to fear, is one of the strangest documents in modern American religious life, in my opinion. This is all in my opinion, by the way. Because when you lay it all out back to back, it stops being funny. It stops being quirky. And it starts to look exactly like what it was. In my opinion, abuse. Bill Gothard put his empire together, basing it on one thing. Fear. That's the polite way to say it. The less polite way and the more accurate is that he built it on a blacklist, a catalog of ordinary American life rebranded as spiritual warfare. Because there's not enough to worry about. Let's go into things that really aren't harmful at all. Cartoons were dangerous. Dolls were dangerous. Doctors were dangerous. Your own body's dangerous. And your thoughts were dangerous. And the only person qualified to tell you which dangers were real was the man selling the seminar tickets. What are we going to do? What should we believe? What should we not? Let's buy tickets to the seminar and find out. Duggars didn't invent this system. They inherited it. But they did something arguably worse. They put it on television and sold it to the rest of America as a lifestyle. women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s sat on their couches watching a family of 21 people and wondered if maybe the Duggars had cracked some code. Maybe the matching outfits and the scripted answers and the endless babies were the secret. Maybe the Duggars had figured out something the rest of us missed. They hadn't. They had a script. And somebody else wrote it. Let's start with the dolls. Cabbage Patch. Kids. Dolls. Those soft-faced dolls. With the yarn hair that every American girl wanted in the 80s. Well, Gothard taught that they were
demonic.
Yes. Yes, this is, yes. And that a
warlock
had allegedly created them. That the adoption certificates children signed violated the first commandment. It wasn't enough to throw them away per teaching. They had to be burned. And in case anyone was wavering, the IBLP later published a medical newsletter claiming that having Cabbage Patch dolls and troll dolls in the house caused difficult labor for pregnant women. I'm not exaggerating. A man with no medical training told mothers their toys would make childbirth harder. And they listened. I know. I mean, at what point do we get to just personal accountability here going, you're believing this shit and you're an adult? You really get into it, and look, I do have a little more grace. I have grace for the folks who were born into this to a certain extent. Not so much for the grown-ass adults that decided this is going to be their flavor and follow it and push it into everyone that comes down their path. That to me is starting to look very bizarre. It's very controlling. I mean, it's culty without a doubt. But the more I'm learning about the inside of this family, the more I'm just like, God, is this thing being led by people with like mental health disorders? Because, I don't know any other way to explain, you know, just this level of thinking, this level of obsession, this level of hate, of distrust, of fear. Irrational fear. Unfounded fear of the outside world. That, to me, just strikes me as there's something going on with anybody who goes down that path and preaches it and professes it. It's one thing, again, like I said, if you're indoctrinated into it and you're told there's nothing else other than this, then that's all you get. I mean, you got to break from that. But if you're coming from a world where you didn't see that, where it wasn't branded into you as a child, and you're adopting that as truth, that to me is fucking bizarre. And I don't know any way other than to look at that and go, There might be a mental health crisis going on in those brains, in my opinion. That this is the way of thinking that A plus B somehow equals C, but really to the rest of us, it's like Q. But you're a crazy. It's strange. It's extremely strange, fearful behavior that is weaponized and then passed on to children as normal and healthy. And then they think that that way of thinking, it's effed up, very effed up. If you really want to get deep into the weeds of this, Amy Duggar King, her book, obviously you can see her interview or conversation that we just had with her on our channel. But that book, Holy Disruptor, it's good. Really, if you really want to get deep into the weeds, I do highly recommend. It puts the perspective, it puts the context to a lot of the story. Let's get back to what else is banned. Disney banned. There's a lot of parents out there going, I'd be okay with that. I mean, at least, you know, some of us who lived through the frozen years. It's like, let it go, let it go, let it go. You know, some of, but seriously, Disney banned. According to the Duggars on Cousin Amy, I'm just talking about, the family once built a bonfire and burned the Disney items they could find in the house. Princesses in the flames. Rock music, including Christian rock, believe it or not, taught Christian that a downbeat on the wrong count gives Satan, in Gothard's own words, a little square in their soul. Monster energy drinks, also forbidden in some ILBP households because the logo looks satanic. Harry Potter banned, Lord of the Rings banned, anything with magic, anything with once upon a time, Pokemon cards, Barbies, board games, Monopoly, replaced with the in-house creation called Commands of Christ. God, I wonder what going to jail looks like. Or instead of, oh God, okay. It's funny because, you know, I work out the monologues, what we're talking about here. And I riff half the time where I'm just going off script and I'm just giving you my thoughts. I kind of use it as a basis for our conversations here. And half the time I'm like riffing and I'm not even seeing what's coming next. And it's usually what's coming next because it's my same questions, except reworded differently. Well, here's what happens. Here's what happens in the Commands of Christ when you go to jail. You land on the venomous pit of bitterness. Get out of the venomous pit of bitterness, free card. And then the list moves from the toy chest to the closet, from imagination to the body itself. Pants on women, ungodly. A violation of the Old Testament law. Blue jeans. Skirts that rise above the knee. That's defrauding the men around you. And you don't want to do that. If somebody sees a knee, excuse me, I need some time alone. Stirring up desires that cannot be righteously fulfilled. Oh, you mean like, how do you righteously fulfill someone who looks at a woman with a skirt that exposes knees and their immediate reaction is, I better are her? Like, if that's ever the equation in some man's mind, that's not a religious failing. That's a moral, ethical, human failing. There's something very wrong with that person if that's the urge that they have. I wonder how that would be. Oh, I don't know. Let's repress young boys to such an extreme that the second they see something like a shoulder clavicle or a knee, that their immediate response is to take it out and start doing stuff with it. There might be a problem. There might be a problem. And your parenting and your belief system might just be the cause of it. Because that ain't normal. That ain't healthy. But they fail to see these things. They fail to see the cause and effect of their own effed up system of control. So, I mean, it's not belief, it's control. Someone believes it. Most of the people who practice, I think, these actions don't necessarily believe what they're doing. They're brainwashed into it, but it's control. If you're just following someone else's orders, it doesn't mean you believe them. It just means you're doing it to not face punishment, which is basically the whole way that they raise children. And if you study motivation or interacting with human beings in any way, shape, or form, you know, the most effective way of getting people to do what you want them to do is not through fear. If you truly want them to willingly keep going down the path you want them to go down, you want to inspire them to do that on their own, through their own desires, their own will, their own choices, their own decision-making process, not because they're fearing
eternal damnation because you exposed your knees or listened to such vile music as Celine Dion. Michael Bolton, the Doobie Brothers.
You know, it's all bad. Good thing if you really want that get out of the venomous pit of bitterness free card if you're playing along in this household, because you never know when you're going to need it, really. So we now want to stir up the desires that cannot be righteously fulfilled. It's just what the... Yeah, this is normal. Text printed on a women's shirt, too distracting to the eye. Can't do that. Movie theaters, worldly amusement, something believers were duty-bound to confront other people about attending. Don't want to go to those movies. Television, largely banned in strict IBLP homes, even though they marketed it through a television series. Highly produced. That's interesting. It's okay if we do it, but not if you do it. Internet, also heavily filtered. Hugs between the sexes, suspect, too. Can't give a hug to somebody of the opposite sex because, you know. Well, and you know, I mean, I know the list goes on and I keep like going off on tangents. Maybe they're on to something here. Maybe there's a level here where they did recognize just how out of control all the men were within their sect. That they literally had to have these almost Sharia law style rules in effect because these men were so repressed that they couldn't control themselves. I mean, not that that's an excuse at all by any means, but like literally you repress people that bad. I mean, they start doing horrible, horrible things. Look at the Middle East. Look at other cultures where they repress men and women. And look, I know men are not repressed in this group in terms of the control aspect of things, but I'm talking sexually repressed. Women are extremely repressed in this system. But when you repress all these people from just the normal feelings of life, of being a living human being, and tell them it's wrong and it's evil and you're going to hell if you feel this way, just natural things that your body produces, hormones. Hormones are evil. It's the devil. No, it's actually biology is all it is. It ain't Satan. Maybe they recognized that they were that unable to control themselves, that that's why some of these rules came about. I'd be curious because every time you have a book of rules that comes out, or the example I would make would be like a POA or an HOA agreement, or maybe in an apartment or a condo agreement. One of those things where every once in a while the rules are updated. Whatever it may be, maybe an employee handbook. And it's like, oh, they're updating this. Well, this is a new chapter. I haven't seen this before. And it's because something horrible happened that they never saw coming that now has to be addressed. I'm wondering how many of these rules in the IBLP were created because Gothard or whoever really had so little self-control that the only control that they felt that they could have or that they needed for themselves was to put it on a piece of paper. Put it on a piece of paper. I won't do it. Okay, it's a rule now. It's almost like Rex Heuerman, like writing down cut off tattoos or, you know, playtime. It's like weird shit. Like, why are you writing that down? Like, you're already engaging in this horrible behavior. Like, do you really need notes? Dating, yeah, as the rest of the country understands it, also forbidden, replaced with chaperone courtship, where every text message also copied in a parent if you're texting. Parents are going along also on the dates You know, how romantic. And then there's the code word, the Duggars' daughter's own 2014 book. They confirmed that the family used the word Nike in public as a signal. So when an attractive woman walks by, somebody says, Nike. And then every male in the family, sons, father, everyone, is supposed to drop his eyes to his shoes until she's out of sight. You know, so they don't like walk up and start humping her like a golden retriever. I mean, think about what that means. Think about what it does to raise sons to believe that a woman's body is so spiritually radioactive that the only safe response is to stare at their feet. Think about what it does to daughters watching their fathers and brothers practice this. They're that much of a temptress. I mean, think about what it teaches about women, about men, about the difference between the two. Every single time someone says the word Nike. From there, the list stops being about what you're allowed to have and starts being about what you're allowed to be. Therapy called
satanic.
Of course, by Gothard. You don't want therapy. Psychiatrists called evil. Medication for mental health called the trap of the deceiver. A published IBLP disease catalog assigning specific sins to specific illnesses. Migraines caused by guilt. Sinus infections by fear. Osteoporosis by envy. If your grandmother had brittle bones, per the system, it was because she hadn't rooted out her jealousy. Fucking grandma. Birth control. Forbidden. Even in cases where doctors warned that another pregnancy could kill the mother. Gothard's own written teaching argued that medical fear itself was from Satan. And that trusting a doctor's advice meant letting the deceiver in. Women were taught to claim a Bible verse during labor instead of consenting to a cesarean. Yeah. Former members have described having tampons confiscated as teenagers. They were called instruments of pleasure. Tampons. Framed as proof that a girl had robbed her future husband of something that belonged to him. Blanket training. Infants placed on a blanket and struck when they attempted to crawl off was rebranded in the Duggar household, as per their niece Amy, as encouragement. This is the list. This is what they were afraid of. Not poverty, not addiction, not predators. A doll. A pair of jeans, a downbeat on a song, a box of tampons, a psychiatrist who might have helped. All afraid of these things. I don't know any other word for this, in my opinion, other than abuse. What else do you call it? Look at what that list actually does. No television, no outside stories, no books with magic, no outside imagination, no secular friends, no outside voices, no psychiatrist, no outside diagnosis, no doctors trusted, no outside bodies of knowledge, no pop music, no outside culture, no dating, no outside romance, no pants, no makeup, no bare shoulders, no cut hair, no outside self. Each branded item read alone sounds like a weird personal preference. Read together, they form a wall, 100 small prohibitions that add up to the same thing. The outside world cannot get in, and nothing inside can get a second opinion. This isn't a belief system, it's a quarantine. The man who designed the quarantine, the one who told families that a Cabbage Patch doll would make their daughter mentally ill, that a tampon was a sin, that a psychiatrist would ruin her, was the subject of harassment allegations from 34 women who had worked for him. Allegations, accused, not convicted. He's denied wrongdoing. He resigned from the IBLP in 2014, and the organization's internal investigation concluded he had acted, in their own language, inappropriately, but not criminally. A 2016 civil suit was dismissed on statute of limitations grounds. A separate case was allowed by the Texas Supreme Court to move forward in 2025 involving allegations of civil conspiracy connected to harm against young women in IBLP-connected families. All of it alleged. All of it contested, all of it framed in Gothard's own telling as a misunderstanding. Sit with it anyway. The man who told families to isolate their daughters from psychologists, from doctors, from outside friends, from secular authority, was himself accused by women closest to him of the exact kind of conduct that thrives in isolation. What a coincidence. That is not a coincidence. That is operating the system. It's operating exactly as designed. The blacklist and the allegations are not two stories. They are the same story told from two ends. The quarantine wasn't an accidental side effect of theology. It was the structure that made the theology operational. You cannot report what you were told is from Satan. You cannot trust a psychiatrist who you've been taught is satanic. You cannot confide in a friend you were never allowed to have. You cannot name what is happening to you if you were never given the words for it. And you cannot leave, because leaving is exactly what the list was written to make impossible. This is the world Joseph Duggar grew up in. This is the world Kendra Duggar married into. And this is why, when serious charges came down in Florida, the family's first public instinct was the same instinct Bill Gothard taught their parents decades earlier. Control the story. Close the ranks. Protect the name. The charges against Joseph are allegations. And under American law, he's presumed innocent and has not been convicted of anything. But the family's response is its own tell. The name always comes first. The name is always the point. The name is what Gothard built the whole blacklist to protect. And the Duggar kids who have walked away, the ones who pierced their noses and let their daughters dress up for Halloween and posted pictures from Disney castles, they're not rebelling. They are not. Whatever the comment section says, serving darkness, they're doing something simpler and much harder than rebellion. They're finding out, one banned item at a time, what the rest of the country always knew, that a doll is a doll. A pair of jeans is a pair of jeans. A psychiatrist is a person with a degree who might help your kid. And Santa is a story. And the scariest thing in that house was never any of it. It was the man at the head of the table holding the list. Your thoughts in the comments section. Substack, YouTube. Love for you to weigh in. Maybe you're a survivor of a system like this. Maybe you're a survivor of them. I hear you. A lot of people hear you. You're not alone. There's a world out there that's welcoming you into it. Break free from the chains if you are stuck there. This is not a life you want to live. This is not a ship you want to go down with. The choice is yours, especially if you're an adult. You do not belong to Bill Gothard or Jim Bob Duggar. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something, but I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.